Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, May 14th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
U.S. futures rebound as traders assess the turmoil over trade.
In the last few innings of any trade negotiation, it's a time where things are most fragile.
President Trump keeping an optimistic tone.
I have a feeling it's going to be very successful.
Now Wall Street awaits a meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi next month.
There's a new investigation to examine the origins of the Russia probe. Plus, former Deputy AG Rod Rosenstein takes verbal swipes at ex-FBI Director Comey. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower on sports. Yankees and Orioles were rained out. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow. St. Louis beat San Jose in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019 by Barron's. Find out why. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
U.S. futures and European shares are rebounding after the worst sell-off since January. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points, Dow futures up 139, NASDAQ futures up 67. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%, CAC in Paris up 1%, FTSE 100 up 0.8%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.6%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.41%, yield on the 2-year 2.19%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 12 cents to $60.91 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.90 to $12.98.90 an ounce. The euro at 1.1236 against the dollar. The yen 109.66. Nathan.
Karen, a meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi next month is shaping up to be pivotal when it comes to U.S.-China trade negotiations.
Well, I'll let you know in about 3 or 4 weeks whether or not it was successful. You never really know, right? But I have a feeling it's going to be very successful.
President says he will meet China's leader at next month's G20 summit after his administration released another list of Chinese goods it could hit with tariffs.
We have the right to do another $325 billion at 25% in additional tariffs. That is a tremendous amount of money that would come into our country. I have not made that decision yet.
If enacted, that next round of tariffs would hit U.S. consumers directly for the first time. Bloomberg's Jody Schneider has details.
There's about $300 billion in Chinese goods on that list, including a number of consumer items such as children's clothing, toys, cell phones, laptops. If he goes ahead with this list, that would mean that almost all imports from China would be covered by punitive duties.
An escalation in the trade war has hit farm commodities hardest, with soybean futures falling to the lowest level in a decade yesterday. The futures in Chicago this morning are rebounding after word Presidents Trump and Xi will meet next month.
U.S. stock index futures also rebounding after yesterday's 2.4% decline for the S&P 500. Libby Cantrell is head of public policy at PIMCO.
In the last few innings of any trade negotiation, it's a time where things are most fragile. And so, yes, we were hopeful that they were going to meet a resolution, but there was also some downside risk, and I think the markets really were ignoring that sort of reality.
The new round of tariffs outlined by the White House would not take effect until late June at the earliest, giving negotiators another month to talk before tensions escalate again. Former U.S. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez.
We're so close. But on the other hand, unless we change expectations and we decide that we can't get everything, but we're going to get a substantial amount, I don't see then how a deal can be had.
All eyes are now on the G20 summit in Japan, set for June 28th.
And while U.S. futures and European equities are rebounding, it was another down day for stocks in Asia. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, the losses in Asia weren't as pronounced as those seen on Wall Street Monday, and the Nikkei 225 actually paired an earlier loss of more than 2% to finish down just 0.6% in Tokyo. The offshore yuan rose for the first time in 7 sessions. The yen lost ground while the Aussie and Kiwi were bid. Hong Kong's cash market was hit hardest during Tuesday's trade as it played catch-up to Monday's price action. The city-state's markets had been closed for a public holiday. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. The market volatility has traders more convinced than ever that the Federal Reserve will cut rates this year. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And Karen, concerns are building that the trade war will hamper economic growth. The Fed funds futures are now pricing in a full quarter point reduction by the end of the year and a second by mid-2020. This is a reversal from just 2 weeks ago when the Fed chairman Jerome Powell made clear that policymakers view the economic outlook as solid. While the broader market is starting to price one Fed rate cut this year, the options market is seeing something more aggressive. Bets are cropping up in the euro-dollar options market for two or three quarter-point reductions. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John. Thank you. And a programming note, stay tuned for a conversation. We didn't have that conversation with John Williams.
We will turn to corporate news now. Shares of Bayer down 2% after a jury ordered the company to pay $2 billion in damages over claims its Roundup weed killer causes cancer. We get more on that from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It is the largest jury award in the U.S. so far this year and the eighth largest ever in a product defect claim. Bayer, which said it will appeal the verdict, has now lost three trials in a row over claims Roundup causes cancer. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Shares of Uber are more than 2% in early trading after a rough debut on Wall Street. The stock slumped 7% on Friday and another 11% yesterday. It'll look to reverse that trend today.
Shares of Volkswagen are up 0.7% this morning as it revives plans for an IPO of its heavy trucks division. VW says it hopes to list the business by August.
Nissan Motor is out with earnings that missed estimates. The automaker also forecasting profit that fell short of expectations and cut its dividend.
And Tesla's in focus after one of its vehicles reportedly caught fire while in a Hong Kong parking lot. According to the Hong Kong Economic Times, a Tesla Model S started to smoke before catching fire while parked in the lot.
And Bitcoin is taking another leg higher this morning. The digital currency has strengthened past $8,000 for the first time in 10 months. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up about 17 points. Dow futures up 122. And NASDAQ futures up 61. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks for that. 6:07 now on Wall Street. And look at that, Michael Barr with more of what's happening around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A second investigation about the origins of the Russia investigation has been ordered. According to multiple reports, Attorney General William Barr has appointed the U.S. Attorney in Connecticut, John Durham, to conduct the inquiry into the Russia investigation's origins and whether intelligence gathering involving the Trump campaign was lawful and appropriate. A similar investigation by the Justice Department's Inspector General is underway. Former Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein is taking verbal shots at both James Comey and Republican detractors. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Rosenstein has been under attack by both sides of the political spectrum and has launched a public attack on former FBI Director Comey, defending Robert Mueller's investigation. He also has drawn a line with Republicans as well, who say they want to know if there were political motivations for the probe itself. He says that was not the case. In a Baltimore speech, Rosenstein says Comey is now a partisan pundit, selling books and earning speaking fees while speculating about the strength of his character and the fate of, in his words, my immortal soul.
Speculating about souls is not a job for police and prosecutors. Generally, we base our opinions on eyewitness testimony.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made little progress persuading European Union counterparts to take a harder line toward Iran during a quick visit to Brussels, with the EU standing behind the nuclear accord abandoned by Washington. Pompeo presented what the U.S. says is fresh intelligence on the threat posed by Iran. Meanwhile, President Trump has sent a warning to Iran. The president was asked about what he plans to do after learning about a sabotage attack on two Saudi oil tankers off the coast of the United Arab Emirates.
It's going to be a bad problem for Iran if something happens, I can tell you that. They're not going to be happy. They are not going to be happy people. Okay? You can figure it out yourself.
The president made his comments at the White House with the visiting Hungarian prime minister by his side. President Trump said far-right Prime Minister Viktor Orban is doing a good job with a hard-line approach to immigration. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street now. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashaw.
Nathan, this is a big night for the Knicks. They just lost 65 games. Will it pay off by winning the draft lottery? It's a year where there's a big prize. Duke Zion Williamson, considered a can't-miss star. Unfortunately, for the Knicks, the NBA changed the rules in an effort to curb tanking. The team with the worst record used to have a 25% chance of winning the lottery. It's now 14%, same as two other teams, Cleveland and Phoenix. Patrick Ewing, the former Knicks star, current Georgetown coach, will be on the stage in Chicago. He became a Knick when they won the first lottery in 1985. After the lottery comes game one of the Western Conference Finals, Portland at Golden State. Nearby in San Jose, St. Louis Blues won last night 4-2. Game two of that West Final series now tied at 1. No game in the Bronx. They waited 2 hours. Aaron Boone watched the Doppler.
You're getting ready to play. Everyone's getting hot. And, you know, you get your pitcher warmed up and stuff. And then, you know, realize that obviously I think everyone saw by the images and whatnot that, you know, it just wasn't playable. Then all of a sudden the emerging thought that maybe more rain was on the way. Definitely, I think, the right call to put this one off.
So the Yankees and Orioles will play tonight and then a doubleheader tomorrow before Thursday's day off. Mets haven't played since Saturday. They're in Washington tonight. The PGA Championship tees off Thursday at Bethpage Black on Long Island. Live coverage on Bloomberg Radio. Tiger Woods going for back-to-back majors. Brooks Koepka, the defending champion. Justin Thomas won the PGA 2 years ago. He's had to pull out with a wrist injury. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And the PGA Championship is just 2 days away. It's been hard to distinguish tour pros from club pros and major champions from major rookies in the first official day of practice on Long Island's Bethpage Black. That's because all of them were bundled in dark rain gear as temperatures hovered in the upper 40s. It should get better by the time the tournament actually gets started, with temperatures pushing 70 by the weekend. And you can catch all the action, by the way, right here on Bloomberg Radio starting Thursday afternoon. As for the action on Wall Street, futures pointing higher. S&P futures up 20 points now. Dow futures up 154. NASDAQ futures up 72 points. This is Bloomberg. And almost at 6:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA developers of high return income producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump says he'll meet Xi Jinping at the G20 summit in June, and he thinks trade talks may be, quote, very successful. Bayer lost its third trial over Roundup. A California jury awarded more than $2 billion to a couple who said they got cancer from using the weed killer. Shares of Uber enter their third day of trading down 18% since the IPO. The ride-hailing company will look to reverse that trend today. And up next on Michael Pompeo's tour, the Secretary of State heads to Sochi, where he'll meet face-to-face with President Vladimir Putin. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures up 21 points this morning. Dow futures up 157. NASDAQ futures up about 74. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.40%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.18%. NYMEX crude oil, little changed, up 3 cents to $61.07 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $3.20 to $12.98.60 an ounce. The euro at 1.1233 against the dollar, the yen 109.67. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, there is a new investigation stemming from Russia's interference in the 2016 election. Attorney General William Barr has now assigned the top federal prosecutor in Connecticut, John Durham, to examine the origins of the Russia probe. Former Deputy Attorney General Ron Rosenstein launched a public attack on former FBI Director James Comey. During a speech last night at the Greater Baltimore Committee, Rosenstein referred to Comey as a partisan pundit. Montana Governor Steve Bullock just announced that he's running for the Democratic presidential nomination Almost two dozen Democrats have announced they're in the race. In baseball, the Yankees-Orioles game was postponed. The A's lost. NHL playoffs. The Blues beat the Sharks. That evens the series at a game apiece. Tonight is the NBA draft lottery. The three teams in front to get the number one pick are the Knicks, Cavaliers, and Suns. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. And this is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. A tense situation in the Persian Gulf. A tense situation in trade. It's all buffeting the price of crude oil. Now, Bloomberg reporter Alex Longley joins us this morning from London. Alex, these are opposing forces in the oil market. Which is going to end up in the driver's seat for crude?
Well, I think it depends on the time frame you're looking at. Certainly, yesterday and today so far in trading, we saw those opposing forces in full swing Monday morning, crude surging higher on geopolitics and tankers being allegedly attacked in the Persian Gulf, then tumbling on the trade war in the afternoon. And even as I came over to the radio studio here in London, more headlines of potential attacks in Saudi Arabia. And I think in the short term, that geopolitical risk will see prices potentially spike higher, and that's certainly what some analysts have been calling for, that this is a very tight oil market in the near term. Longer term, when you see the macroeconomic effect of the trade war play out, and as that takes its hold on both equities and the economy, that's where crude markets start to get hit. So although we're caught between the two, it seems as though the consensus in the market is growing for upside for the time being, at least.
Yeah, it looks like we got, as far as the price action this morning, a bit of a spike right after 6 o'clock our time. What does that do you think?
Certainly that kind of latest release of those headlines that said that there had been kind of more of a flare-up in the Middle East, I think added to that lift higher. But very, very sort of shady details out at the moment. And even yesterday, when those attacks had happened over the weekend, it took a very long time for clarity to emerge about what was going on in the Middle East. So it's certainly one to watch, but it's a very volatile oil market at the moment. So both trade and geopolitics headlines are moving the market on in the blink of an eye at the moment.
Yeah, you can't help but think that traders are saying among themselves, what next? What else could happen?
Very much so. And that's particularly true of the geopolitical argument. We've heard and spoken a lot about the Middle Eastern tensions between Iran, between Saudi Arabia and other regional players. But don't forget there are a lot of other outages in the oil market. US sanctions on Venezuela are having a massive effect there. There's political tensions in Libya and Algeria. Nigeria has problems at the moment as well. There's outages in the North Sea, which obviously aren't geopolitical, but are having an impact too. So it's not just that flare-up that we've spoken about in the Middle East. That is obviously kind of the biggest impact, but there's a whole host of other factors out there that are also impacting the supply side at the moment to make this look like an incredibly tight oil market in the short term. And when you talk to physical traders of actual barrels of oil, they'll tell you that at the moment supply is pretty scarce.
There is a spread between NYMEX crude, the West Texas, the domestic stuff in the U.S., and Brent, the international price. Right about, I guess about $9. I'm not sure exactly what the figure is, but what does that spread reflect?
Well, it's interesting as well, because a few years ago when I first started covering crude, it was unheard of that the WTI Brent spread could be wider than $3 a barrel. So Brent can only trade at a $3 premium to WTI, and now figures around $8, $9, $10 a barrel are more consensus. And that reflects two things. On the one hand, more recently, we've seen that widen back to that $9 figure you were talking about, and that reflects that geopolitical premium in Brent. So the fact that Brent-linked oil is what will spike if there is a major geopolitical incident, and also that crudes in those regions, in the North Sea, in West Africa, in the Middle East, are linked towards Brent. So that area is tight at the moment. On the other hand, we all know the US shale story, surging supplies and struggling to get some of those supplies out of the US, even with record exports. So that's what weighs on the US side of that trade. So that's what's seen this WTI Brent spread explode from the consensus $2-3 a barrel of a couple of years ago out towards $8-9 and even $10-12 a barrel in recent months. And in the short term, it's the geopolitical premium that's adding to that at the moment.
Okay, Alex, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Bloomberg reporter Alex Longley covering the oil market, joining us from our London studios this morning. Now, as Alex mentioned, there were some headlines about the possibility of attacks continuing in the Persian Gulf. We're following that. It's always a little sketchy, the details when you get that from that area of the world. Lower earlier, crude is starting to spike right now. This morning's trading, NYMEX crude is up 15 cents at 61.19. Now, Brent, the international benchmark, is up 36 cents after being lower earlier. Right now, it's 70.59 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Burden LLP. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com. Burden, accountants and advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moskow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing U.S. futures rebound this morning following yesterday's sell-off, which saw all three major U.S. benchmarks fall more than 2%. It's only the second time that happened this year. The rise comes after President Trump predicted talks with China will be very successful, even as the U.S. prepares to hit the country with fresh tariffs. Bloomberg's Jody Schneider has more from Hong Kong.
The U.S. Trade Representative's list had about $300 billion in Chinese goods, including a number of consumer items like children's clothing, toys, laptops, all of which President Trump has threatened to hit with a 25% tariff. And if they did go ahead with this list, it would mean that almost all imports from China would be covered by punitive duties.
And the new levies would not take effect until late June at the earliest.
Meanwhile, New York Fed President John Williams says the effects of tariffs are already showing up in economic data. Williams spoke exclusively to Bloomberg Radio and Television this morning.
We've already seen some effects, I think, a little boost to inflation, some subtractions maybe in growth, but those are relatively small so far. Now, as these tariffs get larger, assuming that happens, I think the effects will be bigger, both boosting inflation in the next year and probably having some negative effects on growth.
New York Fed President Williams tells us he does not see any reason to raise or cut interest rates at the moment.
But that's not stopping traders from boosting bets on a cut. Fed funds futures are now pricing in a full quarter point reduction by the end of the year and a second by mid-2020.
On the corporate front this morning, Uber is up 2.75% in early trading. Shares of the ride-hailing service have fallen 18% in their first two trading days.
Shares of Volkswagen up more than 1%. The German automaker reviving plans for a partial share sale of its heavy trucks division and said it may sell two non-core businesses.
And the Bitcoin rally continues. The largest digital token strengthened past $8,000 for the first time in about 10 months. The advance follows yesterday's 25% surge, the biggest one-day increase for Bitcoin since 2014.
And right now, S&P futures are up 19 points, Dow futures up 147, NASDAQ futures are up 70, the DAX in Germany up 0.5%, 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.40%, yield on the 2-year 2.19%, NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 34 cents at $61.39 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 0.25%, down $3.40 at $12.98.40 an ounce, and the euro at 1.1226 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what's happening in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Former Deputy Attorney General Ron Rosenstein took a swipe at former FBI Director James Comey. Rosenstein, during a speech to the Greater Baltimore Committee, said he had admired Comey, but is now disappointed in him.
Now the former director seems to be acting as a partisan pundit, selling books and earning speaking fees while speculating about the strength of my character and the fate of my immortal soul. I kid you not. That is disappointing.
However, Rosenstein defended Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation in the face of Republican attacks on its legitimacy. Attorney General William Barr is said to have assigned the top federal prosecutor in Connecticut to examine the origins of the Russia investigation. According to multiple reports, it's John Durham, who has a history of serving as a special prosecutor, including accusations of potential wrongdoing among national security officials. President Trump says the hardline approach on immigration taken by Hungary's far-right prime minister is the right approach. The president's remarks came during a White House meeting with Viktor Orban.
Viktor Orban has done a tremendous job in so many different ways, highly respected, respected all over Europe. Probably, like me, a little bit controversial, but that's okay. That's okay. You've done a good job, and you've kept your country safe.
Orban was refused face-to-face diplomacy with former Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama. A team of federal accident investigators will arrive in Alaska today to try to piece together what caused a deadly mid-air collision between two sightseeing planes. Four people were killed, two still missing. The Senate Judiciary Committee meets today on national security concerns posed by the rush to advance broadband technology known as 5G. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
As some lawmakers see it, the U.S. has to beat the clock to lead the next generation of wireless technology that promises to connect everything from self-driving cars and traffic lights to smart appliances. But telecom executives are increasingly dismayed by signs 5G's rollout could be delayed by security concerns that have pitted the U.S. against China. Lawmakers will be looking into the impact on competition and innovation as pressure builds to act fast or else see the U.S. left behind. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the first NBA draft lottery was 1985. The Knicks won it. Conspiracy theorists have said it was all a fix so the New York team could land Patrick Ewing. The Knicks have never won the lottery since. They'll have Ewing represent them on the stage tonight in Chicago. Then comes game one of the Western Conference Finals. Portland led by Oakland native Damian Lillard at Golden State, who's without the injured Kevin Durant. Steph Curry will face his younger brother Seth. It's the Blazers' first conference final since 2000. The Warriors have won it each of the last 4 years. NHL West Finals, St. Louis skating game two in San Jose.
Here's Edmonton, now to Bortuzzo in front of backhand. Score! Robert Bortuzzo walks right through the slot, cut to his backhand, and went off the back bar and came right out for his first career playoff goal. And the Blues regain the lead 3-2.
They would score again and win 4-2 to tie the series at 1. Westwood 1 had the call. They tried to get the game in at the stadium. They gave up after 2 hours in a soggy outfield. Yankees and Orioles will play tonight and then a doubleheader tomorrow. Jonathan Loaisiga was supposed to start last night, but he's got an injured shoulder. Now won't pitch for at least a month. Luis Sessa will start tonight for him. Miguel Andujar's injured shoulder hasn't healed. He's batting 128, so just as Aaron Hicks came off the injured list, Andujar went back on. Mets are in Washington tonight. Justin Thomas has pulled out of this week's PGA Championship on Long Island with an injured wrist. He won the PGA 2 years ago. We'll have live coverage on Bloomberg Radio starting Thursday afternoon. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stachel. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Let's hear more now of that interview with John Williams. The New York Fed president sat down for an exclusive interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes in Zurich this morning. They talked trade tensions, inflation, and the global slowdown in growth. Here's a little more of that conversation now.
We've had a pretty big drop on the stock market. That doesn't only hurt confidence, it tightens financial conditions. Right. When we saw the transition on Fed policy from December into January into March, we see that that seems to have been one of the things that was clearly on the radar screen, a big pullback in stocks and what it could do to financial conditions and what that could do to the economy. What do you see now? Because it hasn't been too pretty the last few days.
Well, one thing I would separate is between volatility in markets, and markets move up and down. That's what happens. But more focus, as you said, on the broader and more persistent movements in financial conditions. Because you're right. If the financial conditions tighten, that affects households' willingness to spend, businesses willing to invest. And so that is something that is one of the factors that we take into account in thinking about where the economy is likely to go. But the big picture, there's a lot of things that affect the U.S. Growth, and the fundamentals are still pretty solid. Job gains have been good. Real wages have been growing. So I think a lot of the underlying kind of momentum in the economy is still solid. So sure, watch financial conditions. It's an important input into thinking about growth, but not the determining factor.
Where does this leave us in terms of a balance of risks? Trade war has started. We don't know the impact. We know that there were some vulnerable parts. I mean, again, weaker consumption, not good business investment in the first quarter. Do the risks tilt to the downside now?
So let me step back a little bit to last December and thinking about that balance of risk. Clearly, what we saw late last year or early this year was slowing global growth and clearly financial conditions tightening. And those are the two areas of risk that I've been particularly focused on. What we've seen on the international front is China's growth is coming better, in part because of the policy actions that the authorities have taken there. Europe is still a mixed picture, and we've seen some weakness in Japan and Korea. So On the global growth side, I think there are some downside risks there. Financial conditions have overall improved quite a bit in the last few months. So I would say overall the balance of risks is roughly where it's been. It's changed a little bit, but still kind of roughly where it's been. I think one thing we don't want to lose track of is the U.S. economy is still steaming ahead through this. So the data, the U.S. data has been better than expected. So, you know, everybody talks about the downside risks, as we should, and focus on that. But of course, we've actually seen some pretty strong numbers in employment, unemployment, that tell me, at least, that the economy still got good momentum.
John Williams, thank you so much for joining us here in Zurich. John Williams, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Pretty soon we'll be able to give you a happy one-year anniversary party.
And that's Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes speaking with New York Fed President John Williams, an exclusive interview you heard on Bloomberg Radio and saw on Bloomberg Television from Zurich. Thank you for that, Kathleen Hayes. And in the minutes ahead here on Bloomberg Radio, we're going to be speaking with Kansas Republican Congressman Roger Marshall as the U.S.-China trade war revs up and potentially hits American farmers directly. In the meantime, S&P futures up nearly 20 points now, Dow futures up 151 points, and NASDAQ futures are up almost 72 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.40%, the 2-year at 2.18%. This is Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Command Financial. Business is constantly evolving. Is your financial printer staying ahead of the curve? Learn how Command Financial is evolving not only with the times, but with your business requirements. Visit commandfinancial.com today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 647 on Wall Street. Futures this morning on the rise. We go to the first word, breaking news desk, for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are bouncing after yesterday's sell-off, with Dow futures up 163 points. S&P's climbed 22, while the NASDAQ futures rise by 76. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.41%. Oil is climbing, and Hong Kong fell 1.5% overnight after reopening, while European markets are also trading higher, led by 1% gains in France. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, import and export price index. And after the bell last night, Bayer lost its third roundup trial after a jury awarded a $2 billion verdict. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Ralph Lauren to report around 8 a.m. In other news, Walmart is rolling out a next-day delivery service in a bid to match Amazon's. And the Hong Kong Economic Times said a Tesla Model S caught fire in a Hong Kong parking lot less than a month after a similar episode in Shanghai. Wrapping things up, over at J.P. Morgan, AGCO was upgraded to overweight, Deere was downgraded to underweight, and over at Morgan Stanley, Coca-Cola upgraded to overweight, while Shopify was downgraded to underweight. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Attorney General William Barr has assigned John Burham, the U.S. attorney in Connecticut, to examine the origins of the Russia probe. It's a move that President Trump has long called for. However, law enforcement officials insist that scrutiny of the Trump campaign was lawful. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made scant progress persuading European Union counterparts to take a harder line toward Iran during a quick visit to Brussels. The EU is standing behind the nuclear accord abandoned by Washington. In baseball, the Yankees-Orioles game was postponed. The A's lost. In the NHL playoffs, the Blues beat the Sharks 4-2. That evens the series at a game apiece. Tonight is the NBA draft lottery. The three teams in front to get the number one pick are the Knicks, Cavaliers, and Suns. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, get well wishes to former President Jimmy Carter. He broke his hip when he fell while leaving to go turkey hunting. Carter, who was 94, is recovering from surgery. Nathan Carter and his wife Rosalind still live in Plains, Georgia, where he teaches Sunday school.
Yeah, definitely best wishes to former President Carter. And, you know, given the fact that he beat brain cancer 4 years ago, a busted hip ought to be nothing. So definitely pulling for Carter for sure.
Yes, tough guy. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's coming up to 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where the trade war between the U.S. and China remains front and center. For more, we're pleased to welcome Representative Roger Marshall, the Republican congressman from the 1st District in Kansas, sits on the House Agriculture Committee. Congressman Marshall is sitting now in our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C. Again, Congressman, thank you for being with us. And obviously, the agriculture sector has been a key target of this trade dispute. What are your constituents telling you about the impact that a ramped up trade war will have on them?
Well, good morning, Nathan. You know, it's not what's going to feel like. It's already feeling. We have record number of bankruptcies going on in Kansas right now in agriculture, record numbers of farmer suicide. So it's dire times right now. I just don't know if it can get much worse. We certainly need some movement somehow, some way.
What kind of movement are you looking for from the White House?
Well, number one is we need to get USMCA approved. We export four times more products to Mexico and Canada than we do China. So we need to get that, move that from the uncertain pile to the certainty pile. So let's get that accomplished. We need Nancy Pelosi to move and bring that to the House floor for a vote. And then we probably just need to move on to Japan. China does not want to negotiate in good faith. We need the Japanese market that's been our bright spot for Kansas. We export a lot of beef to them. So we probably need to make sure we get that bilateral agreement with Japan firmed up sooner than later.
2 points there, obviously. I want to get to the first one about USMCA, NAFTA 2.0, as some call it. Isn't the concern that tariffs that are included in that deal right now on steel and aluminum, what's keeping Senator Grassley from ratifying that deal right now?
Well, I think it's which is going to be first, the chicken or the egg here. To me, both of those balls have to move at the same time. I think that's part of the negotiation. I think if we bring it to the House floor, then those tariffs will be dealt with, and then we'll get it on over to the Senate as well. So I think that those got to go together in the same package.
Wouldn't it take some time to get tariffs negotiated out of the deal in order for it to get ratified in the House?
I'm sure it will take some time, but it's probably a 6-month process anyway from the time we bring that to the floor until we actually vote on it. So I think in that time frame, we can get the votes we need to get it on past the finish line.
Okay. And then moving on to, as you put it, moving on to Japan, what about continued uncertainty, though, with China if we were to move on to a trade negotiation with Japan? I mean, wouldn't that just essentially leave the issue up in the air?
Well, it's up in the air right now. I just don't know how you can negotiate with somebody who walks back what they previously committed to. This is chapter 19 of the same book, Dealing with China. However bad I thought it was dealing with China as a trade partner, it's exponentially worse once I got up here. You know, for instance, they've locked us out of China for 14 years as far as beef goes. They supplement their farmers, their corn and wheat farmers, $100 billion a year in excess of WTO. They don't follow through with their agreements. They're not a good trade partner. Let's move on to Japan if China doesn't want to negotiate in good faith.
Are you concerned, though, that if we do move on from China, that the Chinese might buy even less soybeans from your farmers in Kansas? I mean, they at least made some sort of concession earlier before walking away from the deal that they would increase agriculture purchases in Kansas.
Right. Now, I think we need to realize, first of all, China's in much worse shape than we are. There is a finite amount of soybeans in the world right now. I don't think that Brazil can make up for what they're missing. And the other little piece of the puzzle here is that the African swine virus has wiped out maybe half of the Chinese a hog herd, so maybe they're not going to, they don't need as much soybeans anyway. So they've got their own problems, and I think sometimes when you're fighting someone or in a trade war like this, you just have to double down and wait till them to come back, and when they're ready to make a deal, then we'll make one.
Obviously, the Chinese market would potentially be a huge one for the U.S. agriculture sector. I mean, are there other parts of the rest of the world that could make up that kind of gap if China were to be sidelined temporarily, as you're suggesting?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, certainly we have opportunities in India, and I know that Secretary Ted McKinney is working very hard on getting India opened up better. There's certainly more opportunities for us in Southeast Asia and Japan as well. But I think that China has an incredible upside for us. But again, they've been treating us so poorly. I think they were only importing maybe 10% of their agriculture products in years past from the United States. So we're their best trade partner. We give them unlimited access to our markets for iPhones and iPads, those types of things, but they limit our access. People need to realize how bad China has treated the American farmer in the United States. 90% of the counterfeits that come into this country come from China. 90% of the fentanyl, the illegal drug that people overdose on, the opioid crisis, is made in China. China has been a horrible trade partner. They've treated us poorly. I, for one, we're glad the president is standing up to them. I'm glad that the president is holding them accountable. Now it's time. We have faith, we have hope in President Trump that he can get this deal done with them.
At the same time, you wrote in a recent op-ed, right around the time the president was thinking about putting these tariffs into place, that farmers have had faith, as you say, in President Trump through these negotiations, but can't tolerate more tariffs. Now we're on the cusp of having them put in place. Is that faith at risk of wavering in the Farm Belt?
You know, it's incredible that the faith that the farmers have, not only in their spiritual faith, but in President Trump, seems to be unwavering. I've literally met with thousands of farmers. I've never heard one farmer badmouth the president. I think that they will stay with him through the end. And we have to encourage him. We have to stand beside him. We have to put wind beneath his wings is what we have to do. I think the last thing we need to do now is to desert our president. I've been telling folks, we're out in the middle of this very fast river, trying to cross a river. President Trump is driving the boat. We're not turning the boat around now. It's too late. We need to go forward. I wish he would double the tariffs on China right now. If we're going to mess with them, then let's double down and bring them back to the negotiating table. Let them know that we're serious. Meanwhile, we have other markets we need to go after. The European Union has limited access for agriculture, so we need to go in there and work with them as well.
Double tariffs permanently, are you saying?
No, not permanently. I'm just saying whatever we need to do to make the hurt on China enough that they're willing to come back and negotiate it in good faith.
Congressman Roger Marshall, Republican from Kansas, the first congressional district and a member of the House Agriculture Committee. Congressman, again, thanks for your time and for joining us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen, back to you.
All right, Nathan, thank you. Let's take a look at futures, which are rising today following yesterday's sell-off. S&P futures up 19 points, Dow futures up 141, and NASDAQ futures up 69. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%, the CAC in Paris up 1.1%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.9%. And the 10-year Treasury down 2/32, the yield 2.41%, the yield on the 2-year at 2.19%. NYMEX crude oil up about 0.8% or 46 cents at $61.50 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.3% at $1,298.10 an ounce. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.